Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 16. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the best hosting solutions for a WordPress-powered membership learning management system website. In 2023, I've got my great co-host. He's taken his painkillers, his blood pressure tablets. He's had a walk. He's relaxed. I will soon change that during the show.
We'll do the countdown.
It won't take long. I've got the feeling this won't take long.
Jonathan's been keeping his New Year's resolution not to take the piss out of me because the Scorpio tail keeps getting him when he does. So I think he's learned to just lay low.
I just can't be bothered anymore. So I'm trying to avoid it.
Peace and love.
Yeah, sure. So, Spencer, would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers?
Absolutely. It's Spencer Forman from SpencerForman.com and WPLaunchify.com. There's no E in Forman. I've left it off for savings.
All right. There we go. Right. Like I say, in this show, we're going to be talking about the things that you've got to understand when you're looking at all the different hosting providers that are looking to help you host your website, the key factors that you've got to understand that will help your experience in running your learning management membership website and WordPress a lot more joyful and stress-free. We are independent. We have no direct connection to any of the hosting providers, so we can speak with authority and honesty during the show. Before we delve into the meat and potatoes, I've got a couple messages from our sponsors, our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Are you looking for ways to make your content more engaging? Sensei LMS by Automattic is the original WordPress solution for creating and selling online courses. Sensei's new interactive blocks can be added to any WordPress page or post. For example, interactive videos let you pause videos and display quizzes, lead generation forms, surveys, and more. For a 20% off discount for the tribe, just use the code WPTonic, all one word, when checking out and give Sensei a try today.
Hi there, folks. It's Jonathan Denwood here, and I want to tell you about one of our great sponsors, and that's Zolo.com. If you've got a WordPress website, a membership website, and you're looking to link it with a great financial management package, Zolo can provide this solution. So all your bookkeeping needs are done through Zolo. If you need new inbox email functionality and you don't want to pay the high charges that Google will charge you, Zolo offers a great email inbox platform. They've got over 50 apps and services that all integrate fantastic with WordPress at great value levels, and they almost always offer a fully functioning free product as well. So it's just amazing value. Also, if you're a WordPress developer or agency owner, Zolo are looking for great partnerships in the WordPress space. To get all this information, all you have to do, folks, is just go over to Zolo.com, and they have the products that you're looking for. Thank you so much, Zolo, for supporting WP Tonic and the Machine Membership Shows. It's much appreciated. We're coming back, folks. I'd just like to point out that if you're looking to host your membership learning management system on WordPress, have a look at WP Tonic. We provide top hosting optimized for membership and learning management systems, and we provide a suite of plugins, some of the best, all free of charge. We make sure all those plugins work together, plus email is part of the package, transitional or marketing email. It's great value. We are passionate about helping you. go over to WP Tonic and sign up. We'd love you to become part of the tribe. So let's start with broad topics. So I put in about seven, and I think having some basic understanding about these points will help the listeners and viewers in their journey in buying, in purchasing a good partner, a hosting partner for their website. And I think number one is, over the past few years, Spencer, I think there's been a tremendous revolution in hosting. I think there used to be very strong boundaries about what you got, like shared hosting, virtual dedicated hosting, physical dedicated servers. And then cloud hosting reared its head, cloud computing. And I think it's upset all the boundaries over the past couple of years. I think some of the major hosting providers that we're going to be talking about, because of their scale, have had to balance their own traditional setups with the new cloud reality. And this has caused them certain headaches. So what's your comments about cloud computing and how it's revolutionized the scene, and your response to what I've just outlined, Spencer?
Yeah. I think it's fair to say we can take ourselves on a little journey back to around 2005, when the telephone companies used to charge everybody for text messages, and they could get away with it. Around the same time when the internet started to kick in for mere mortals, the physical hardware and the connectivity between the various hosts started to shift from physical boxes that somebody either owned outright or leased from what they used to call a server farm, usually somewhere out in the prairies or the plains of Texas or something, to what we call VPS or cloud hosting. And the difference with, you know, a virtual server, a VPS server versus a physical, is that large entities, some of which are name brands today, of course, AWS, Google, Linode, DigitalOcean is a recent one, but very popular. They all started to essentially say, look, let's stop playing around here with the idea that we're going to buy physical boxes for everybody and we're going to make you lease them or own them or whatever. We're just going to basically get our own wholesale infrastructure, which, by the way, they probably all get from one source, like an AWS or something. And we are going to make it easy for you to just essentially have as much or as little capacity as you need, and it will expand up and expand down. And there's lots of technology around things like that for launching these little packages. One of the ones that was popular in the day was called Kubernetes. I think that's still fairly popular. But the idea is there's a software way to get virtual machines on demand. That, similar to text messaging, had altered the entire ecosystem, because instead of some company having to make a tangible investment in physical hardware, or you or I having like a little 286 PC under our desk that ran our website. I mean, I was there, folks. That's how it was. You now could just say, all right, I can get some space and get it virtually. And it has a content delivery network around the world. So they'll, for a little bit more money, spread it around so it's closer to your customers, so on and so forth. Now, take that, and again, this is a painful way to say this, but one of our guests of our show, one of my, I think, smartest guys I've ever met, who was the
well, he left me when he came. He left me when he came on the show last time.
This is where I think he would respect me for being clear about it. The GOAT of managed hosting is WP Engine and Jason Cohen. He's literally one of the smartest, nicest, most intelligent conversational partners I can ever imagine.
I wouldn't want to play poker with him, though, would you?
Yeah. But the point I'm getting at is, back in the day, circa 2008, 9, 10, managed hosting meant something different than it means today. Managed hosting meant that you didn't have to worry about all the complicated bells and whistles and steam gauges and levers and Ugh, it was like an old-fashioned submarine from a World War II movie versus today where you've just got like some digital screen and you move the mouse around. The business of managed hosting has evolved, in my opinion, to a point where the term is misused today.
I think all the terms that we're going to discuss are misused.
The West?
I think all the terms that are listed are misused to some extent. But this is how I see it, folks. There are still physical servers. That there is still hardware servers. They are in data locations. When Amazon Web Services, Google, Facebook, big, not so much Facebook, but they've got a part in this. But Amazon, Google, Azure, Microsoft, they built their own server data centers and they sell capacity to other providers who add their own value proposition on top, which could be classified as traditional hosting providers.
Let me pause on that point. The distinction between managed hosting in today's ecosystem has a lot to do with who the customer is and what they're getting for it. At the corporate level, managed hosting today legitimately means there is a team of server experts who are there to essentially babysit the engine room as needed. At the consumer level, that's where I find it's difficult because the consumer level managed hosting was like, we're going to save you all the aggravation and trouble of setting something up that was annoying and difficult. But now it's being, I think, misused because at the consumer level, that's like the phone company saying, we're going to charge you still for text messages because we're going to manage your text messaging. But there's nothing to manage anymore. The thing that's actually happening in many cases with managed hosting at the consumer level, the small business level, is what they're doing is they're babysitting you like a kid at a camp. And they're telling you, sit in that seat and this is what you can do and can't do. And we're going to protect you from themselves. But truthfully, what that is doing is just protecting their infrastructure and their business from wildcards, which while it's understood, should be at least explained in such a way. Because otherwise, I've found too many instances where things like caching is installed and different kinds of things that interfere with the dynamic nature of WordPress websites. And then the end user actually does more work, more diagnostic to figure out what's wrong because of the host's managed hosting. Ta-da. That's the point. At the upper levels, you need a team that's like, holy cow, let's scale this thing because we're going on a sale and it's going to blow up. At the consumer level, it's often not the case.
Yeah. Another factor that evolved this, folks, is where Facebook enters it, is that for many years, the actual software server that ran on top of the hardware was a server called Apache. When fundamentally Facebook is just a glorified, this isn't quite true, but it is a kind of glorified website, stroke platform, enclosed website. And for that, because of the massive usage of Facebook, and they built their own technology, their own server that could utilize cloud technology where the traditional Apache wasn't designed to utilize a cloud solution. And this technology which they developed is adopted by many of these cloud and hosting providers that we're going to be talking about. Another, which is beyond my pay scale, is that certain technology, Doxer, I think is one of them, was developed that enabled you to the cloud, the hosting industry to utilize the term droplets and develop that as well. So it's a very dynamic changing environment that has rapidly changed over the last 4 to 5 years.
I would want to just put a bow around that and say the technologies that have made a difference, there's at least three on the host, on the server side of things, the
Apache evolved into Lightspeed, evolved into Nginx, and now there's different versions and updates of that. Nginx has a higher capacity for number of concurrent users. Think of it like a telephone that can have more than one person connected to it. Apache was always limited. Second was the caching. There's various protocols in use, including there's browser cache, which is where much of this abuse happens for the customer, because they take a Polaroid picture without you knowing it, give you the picture, and then you're staring at the picture hoping something changes, and you're wondering, like, am I in Back to the Future? You know, Doc and Marty aren't getting any older here. There's object cache. A pal, Till, was the one who created that. That's the thing it does on the PHP level for PHP requests. There's Varnish. There's all these things, when you add them together, essentially allow the servers to optimize what they can deliver and to whom. Those things have reached a point, in my opinion, where there's always going to be room for better and more, but combined with CDN network and all the redundancies, mean we are living in a world of over delivery, right? Like, even the most mundane $5 a month, you know, from one of the companies we'll talk about, will get you to the dance on time. Whereas in the past, there was considerable concern over whether that was going to happen. And I think that's the point.
Yeah, we're going to have to disagree on that one to some extent, but we're moving into
the fun of the show.
Yeah. Take the tablets. It's going to get worse. Another area which I think is extremely abused, but probably that is unfair to utilize the word abused, but I'm struggling to find, is the term fully managed WordPress hosting. A vassalous term, if I've ever heard one, because it could literally mean anything. Would you agree that this is one of the most abused, vassalous terms that is generated in the WordPress ecosystem?
I mean, we just started the show talking about this very point. So just to go back to it and close the loop up, fully managed hosting to me means you've got a competent team to do for you what you don't want to do for yourself, but WP Engine, Jason, please listen, but you're fully transparent about what's happening, and you give the control option to the end user's professional team. Because otherwise, the shenanigans that happen are that nobody digs deep enough to figure out, like, why isn't this working right? Why isn't it? And to force them to do the extra work to realize that things are being done on the back end, allegedly to manage them. But what really is happening is you're creating havoc for them in a modern WordPress plugin environment where many, many things are dynamic. Membership, marketing automation, sales funnels. These are all things that are not static like they used to be on one or two excluded pages. That is a big issue with me personally. And that's where I think managed hosting should be. Like a concierge in a hotel, we make your trip better, not harder. We don't hide your dob kit when you go down to breakfast and you come back to your room and you're wondering, where's my dob kit? I want to take a shave. Oh, we managed your room for you. We hid your dob kit. You can shave after you ask us where the dob kit is. That's nonsense.
Well, our position at WP Tonic, because we're a boutique micro-branded hosting provider, we update all the plugins as part of the hosting package because we're providing most of the plugins. We don't enforce people not to install something else. We ask them to ask us to install it for them and check it over. But we update all the plugins. If they're on, we offer further maintenance package. If there's a problem with our update, we will roll it back and either they can pay for us to
referring to plugins, though. I want to be clear. I'm talking only about caching. Plugins is not a managed hosting option that I'm aware of. I don't want people to be confused with plugins in this.
All right, fair enough.
Right, it's just not. Like, none of the hosting companies are saying managed hosting means plugins. What they do say at WP Engine and some of the others, though, is they will, and this is actually a good practice, they will restrict updating certain releases, for example, your version of WordPress, until it's cooled off. That I actually can get behind.
Well, I totally agree with you there. We don't, this idea of allowing WordPress, because they've oscillated from, which I thought was the right thing, security patches and then allowing automatic updates for that, and then allowing major updates to the core, which I don't agree with. I think that's bonkers, but that's my opinion. So let's go on to something else on the list. I think the other thing, number three, I think this causes so much confusion and heartache, caching. Caching and hosting. What's your comments about that?
Well, I mean, again, well, let's close the loop because I started on this to begin with and I just mentioned it. Caching is ironically I'm going to be very controversial with this for anybody who's in that space. It is not a requirement in today's world of abundant capacity. If you look at the majority of use cases where somebody is just starting out with a WordPress site with very few users, almost no customers, and their website has dynamic stuff like a membership area and transactional thing, even basic marketing automation, the raw server by itself with object cache and with Varnish is enough that it doesn't need to have page caching or browser caching enabled on the side of the client. And if it were enabled, it's our experience professionally, tens of thousands of customers, to simply have it set for people who are logged out get cached, people who are logged in are not cached. But that's not how the managed hosts are doing it. They're doing it like every kid, it's, here's your lunchbox, sit in the seat, you get this many page views, this is what you do, and we're going to object cache, page cache, we're going to cache the heck out of everything. And there's exclusions if you can figure out how to, you know, get to that point and ask us. A disturbing part to me, again, with WP Engine, because they're otherwise so brilliant, is they don't even allow you to use the control panel to override the exemptions. You have to ask them in a support ticket, which is just ridiculous to me. Ridiculous. Because you're paying a supreme premium for their service compared to another one of the ones we're going to talk about, like Cloudways. Cloudways is like, do what you want. You're paying for it. I'm like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The other thing you got to understand, folks, is that I'm not anti-caching. I think some of the advice that Spence has given is totally correct. Not anti, if it's utilized in the right way, especially when it comes to a membership learning management system, if you're dealing with hosting provider that isn't totally transparent or people that specialize or a developer that's helping you with this, you're rapidly going to get into a very unpleasant. We had a major client I was dealing with and they, without telling us, hired some people and they installed some caching plugins and started messing around. And they caused the client an enormous amount of aggro and caused me a certain degree because it was one of a client that had been with us for almost 4 years. That was one of my first hosting clients of my company. So, and they were, I've always had a good relationship with them. So, just be mindful, you just need to know. And it's one of the problems with a lot of these hosting provided. Also, you've got to be set, if you're going to use Cloudflare, you've got to make sure that's not, you've got to fully understand who's doing the caching, how it's being set up, because otherwise it's going to rapidly turn into a nightmare. On to the next thing that really is important when it comes to a membership and learning management, bandwidth and concurrent insights, because it's one of the things that people don't really understand. Because if you're getting a website built on really cheap hosting, it can work totally fine until you get until it goes live. And then it rapidly turns into a nightmare. What's your insights about number four on our list, Spence?
Bandwidth, to my... These are all my opinions, of course. I'm not saying there's a black and white right and wrong, but I will back this up with, you know, factual data that I rely on. I think bandwidth is a red herring in today's world because that was a metric that mattered back in the days when people had dial-ups or when people had to pay for their bandwidth using whatever the service was for connecting to the internet. It's very rare, especially in anybody's normal instance. And even here, where I'm in Chicago and still connected through Xfinity or Verizon. But even they say there's like a bandwidth limit, but it's in the terabytes. I mean, you know, you really got to work hard. So bandwidth is a red herring. I find that any company that is making that a big deal, they're just pulling your leg. The concurrence is a harder one to allocate because you're never going to really know that until you know it. But that's where I was referencing the difference between the old Apache hosting engine versus then Lightspeed. And I'm going on memory here, but like, as I recall, the early Apache was 25 concurrent connections. And I think Lightspeed doubled it. And then Nginx comes along with things like object caching and other optimization. And I believe that it's possible now to scale up to a lot larger number of users than that, because you get them in, you get them out, you move them to another machine, and then there's here and so forth.
The reason why I added this to the list, the concurrent is important when it comes to membership, because it's a slightly different animal. But the first part is, you are totally correct, but the only reason that I would, I won't say slightly disagree with you, but let's point this out to you, is the really cheap side of the market where you're getting these, I think they're clowns. I think, you know, when they're telling people you can get your site hosted for $3 or, I just think they're clowns.
Let me pause because I want to throw, sorry to interrupt you, but like, when you look at pricing, just, I looked up, Nginx will support 512 connections. Okay. Apache, at least the original, I'm almost sure it's 25. No, I take it back. The newest version of Apache will do 150. And let's see what Lightspeed. Lightspeed will doesn't have the metric, but I believe it's probably double. So I'm going to say, with the exception of, it's interesting here because I'm looking at another reference and there's something that says like it's typically 25 or 50. But let's just use as a relative amount. Okay. There's 1, 2, and 5. That's like a real rough approximation maybe of like how many concurrent users. So most of the hosting in the VPS space is Nginx. I mean, I have not seen anything other than Nginx in a long while.
Yeah, but you got to understand a lot these larger providers that have enormous amount of people, they've got a real witch's brew of legacy and cloud that they're dealing with. And also my experience of the cheaper side of this is I have no facts here, it's only suspicion. I think they're ramming these people onto their legacy networks, their legacy systems myself, but well, I have
they had the hardware. I mean, I'm not sure what they do, but you can bet on the fact that there are still hosts, maybe that are, they bought the architecture, they bought the hardware. But remember, there's another factor here. Chips have improved so much that, like an automobile with a, let's say your enterprise rent a car, just because you bought a fleet of Chevrolets in 1985 doesn't mean that you could keep running 1985 Chevrolets, because people expect 2023 cars. The chips and the other improvements in the architecture of the boards means that they would be losing money and high energy costs if they were running older crap. So I'm pretty sure that most everybody who runs a hosting company has moved to some kind of a leased architecture from a larger wholesaler.
It's a very fragmented. So this will be covered on the next one. We shouldn't be discussing this.
I mean, speculating. We're speculating.
Yeah,
we don't know.
Yeah. But this next one shouldn't rear its head, but it has for me, because the market is so fragmented. Your PHP version. I've had people that are kind of hosting a marketing site with a provider for years, and then they've decided that they need a membership, a learning management system, and then they brought us in, and we found out that the hosting provider's running their sites on some old version of PHP, and they're very unresponsive about updating it. Unbelievable, but that's the truth, Spencer.
The biggest problem you're going to get with PHP is really easier than that. Because of Gutenberg and the modern plugins, here's the fact. If you're running the modern WordPress 6.1.1, which is the latest, you need 7.4 or higher. Okay, that's it. There's no conversation. because there are an unbelievable amount of notices and things that will show up and a couple things that might actually be errors because there was a lot of deprecated functions from the earlier version of PHP because that's just how it rolls. I think we're at version 8.2 or higher now of PHP. And if you don't have 7.4, you're going to run into problems. And this is too geeky for most people, but just, I don't know of any hosts that won't let you run at least 7x. The only one we have to check is what is WP Engine's current thing. Now, they were very thoughtful about it. So again, I have no complaints there about them saying, look, we're going to let you run up to this, and then we got to make sure everything's cool. Because that doesn't have any consequence to your business. I mean, it's very rare that the PHP between 7.1 and 7.4 or 7.5 is going to matter. But like if you're in PHP 6 or 5.6 or something, yeah, you got to get it going. You can't just stick around with that stuff.
Yeah. On to the next one. Another that does affect if you've got a medium to large membership learning management system is PHP workers. What's your insights about what people got to know about PHP workers?
I mean, this is where, like, when I was referring to caching, object cache is one of those tools that makes use of the fact there's a little, Santa's workshop in the back of the server where all the little PHP worker elves are basically doing all of the processes, right? They're building your pages and scheduling background tasks, and they're generating the HTML pages. So if you help them by giving like, oh, we've already built 30 of that little whatever. Let's just make a Polaroid picture for you to hand out instead of building it from scratch. The PHP workers can be doing their job better. But at the same time, the number of PHP workers that are allocated means how many elves are in the workshop in general. And it's obviously dependent on the type of web server, right? Nginx versus Apache. It depends on like how your MySQL database is set up. There's a lot of factors at play, but in general, more PHP workers, object caching, the latest version of MySQL, and plugins that are from this century means that you can really do a lot with a $5 server. And certainly, with a $5 server. If it has those things. Now, we're going to talk about, for example, some of the plans on Cloudways. You can't really get a $5 server, but you can get a $10 server on Cloudways that has only one core and less RAM, but it has object caching. It has PHP workers that are sufficient. It has the modern setup with Nginx. That does better than some of the janky, somebody's got a box in a room in Texas somewhere. Okay. That's factual, Jonathan. You can't just get into this like general, oh, I don't like it because it's a low cost. We have reached the point where text messaging is free.
Well, it's just a point of view.
I know, but like there's facts behind this that we have to stand by. The commoditization of hosting is what's driving the WordPress plugin ecosystem, because there was a time when like managed hosting and the complexities and the cost meant they could get away and reasonably it's 80, 100, 200 a month. Now there's such a commoditization
I think in that way, but it's just also that you've got to provide support ticketing, help people out. Yeah. There are costs.
There are costs of the human interaction, but that's the point. If we talked about it back to my reference, let's talk about text messaging. If the Verizon company said, Spence, it's managed text messaging. What are you paying for? The text messages are free, but we have a 24/7 team of people there to help you with making sure that every text message is delivered to the door and responded to and like that's service. Versus charging for the actual delivery thing, which is a commodity. That's the point with hosting.
Yeah. So we've got some guests. We've got Tina Cook. We've got some people joining us. They're most welcome. But when it comes to PHP workers, my experience, folks, is the cheaper end of the market that's more consumer-focused. They really cut back on the PHP workers. And if you've got a membership, you've got a learning management that starts to get some student interaction, you start getting any kind of traction, it soon goes a bit pear-shaped. And on the cheaper side of it, they just want to upscale you. And it gets a bit brutal pretty rapidly. Can we go on to the next one?
I just want to say something. I want to interrupt this broadcast to announce that, you know, I'm in the house where all of my devices are listening to me. And as we spoke, I got a text message from Verizon trying to upsell me. Every household deserves a reliable internet connection. Save up to $30 a month on selected plans. I mean, frightening how deeply embedded this marketing intrusion is. I mean,
yeah, but I don't have any ladies listening to
me. I've never, ever gotten that message from them. But the second I mention literally that thing, for sure, it pops in.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Now, let's finish off with another thing that causes a lot of confusion, despair with poor people trying to host their membership, whatever, on WordPress. CDNs. I kind of link CDNs with the kind of confusion around caching. A lot of people don't understand what it is. And I found it kind of gets into a mixes brew of a kind of where people just want to pull their hair out. Let's define what it is.
So what a CDN is, literally, you know, a content delivery network, right? If you look at a map, it's like a network of servers that are basically linked together around the world so you can really inexpensively and reliably and quickly deliver stuff nearest to the person who's trying to consume it, right? So think of it like an Amazon.com warehouse in your neighborhood where you order over there, but then the truck is like a block away and they can have your thing there before you close the... It's really useful. But to your point, one of the tools that does is that it acts as a potential firewall. It acts as a DNS service. It acts as a caching service. And there are times when you need the firewall more than anything, especially with WordPress, because here's what happens. If you've got an Nginx and it can take 512 connections and some naughty person decides they are going to just punish you on your IP address, your web server is not smart enough on its own to figure out, like, which one of those people ringing the phone should I pick up and answer? The CDN has global knowledge of things going on. It's like, oh, we've seen this character over there. Cut them off before they get to your server. But what does that imply? That implies that you've got like a valet, like a bodyguard outside your compound who's making their own decisions about who to let in and who not to let in. And it can cause you to have an extra amount of work. But the value is in the fact that things get delivered faster and it keeps a lot of people out who are otherwise trying to hamstring your servers. But you got to manage that bodyguard. Got to pay him or her their salary and feed them lunch. You know?
This especially applies if you're utilizing Cloudflare. We turn it off because we're in partnership with MailCare and BlogVault. They are a partner of ours, and we install their premier solutions on all our hosting sites, and they deal with that. But it does cause a lot of confusion. Thanks for that, Spence. We're going to go for our break, folks. Spencer's going to take some pressure-reducing tablets.
I just want everybody to know I have perfect blood pressure, and I went for a walk this morning outside in the sun. And unlike my elderly statesman here, I have a million problems, but blood pressure is not one of them.
There's nothing wrong with my blood pressure at all, actually. I've had my, I'm in good nick for my age. It's only these shows that gets me into a mental state. We will be back in a few moments, folks. We've got a couple of messages from our sponsors. Be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, it's Spence from LaunchFlows.com. If you've been looking for a fast and easy way to create powerful sales funnels on WordPress, then look no further than LaunchFlows. In just minutes, you can easily create instant registration, upsells, downsells, order bumps, one-click checkouts, one-time offers, custom thank you pages, and best of all, no coding is required. For as little as $50 per year, you can own and control your entire sales funnel machine with LaunchFlows. Get your copy today.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS. the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back. Just want to point out that we've got a great Facebook group, the Membership Machine Show Facebook group. Please join us there. It's totally free. Me and Spencer are admins. If you've got any questions, we're trying to answer them for you about building a membership learning management system on WordPress, any other kind of WordPress. We've got a load of developers as part of the group as well. It's a good community. Please join us. It's slowly growing. We're getting some more people join. We need a lot more to join. And like I say, you've got any questions, we will answer those. So do your search on Facebook, the Membership Machine Facebook group, and join us there. So let's go on to some of the actual providers. Not all of them. These were just the ones that I think are some of the leading. This is where I get excommunicated from the world of WordPress, but I'm excommunicated anyway, so I might as well just do the full job, why not? So let's go into it. Let's go into a granddaddy, one of the granddaddies of hosting, Bluehost. What are your views on Bluehost, Uncle Spencer?
I think it's important to just refer to them like you just started in the context of where they came from and who they appealed to, right? So Bluehost and HostGator were two of the earliest, along with GoDaddy probably. Yeah, well. Right. And by the way, I mean...
The alligator. Oh, Jesus. Don't host with them.
There's something to be said because you're making that gesture, but there's something to be said for the fact that the politics of Bluehost in particular leaned in that direction, and that had an effect on some of the people who were trying to run businesses they didn't agree with. That's a long ago story. But, you know, the point is that they became both very popular at a time when earlier, you know, blog successes would essentially say, here's a tutorial with my affiliate link on how to do blankety blank, set up your WordPress site. And they were extremely generous, so was HostGator, on how much they gave as a referral. Back in the day, I remember I was getting $85 to $120-something dollars for setting people up on $5 a month sites, because they did the math and they figured out that once these people signed up, they stayed for three or more years. So they gave out like a year and a half of that to the affiliates, and they grew enormous, which gave them, by the way, economies of scale. Because let's think of it like this, you know, whatever they pay out in money, it's like 95% profit margin.
Yeah, because it was linked to what we said in the first half of the show, when you had to have your own server, physical servers, blah, blah, blah. They got economy of scale because they could buy physical servers, have the team, and cram them in. And there was economy of scales in a cloud environment. I would not recommend anybody to host with these people.
Let's break this down, though. Okay, so we'll talk about this if we're doing. Are we doing HostGator as well? Let's see.
No, I just couldn't go there. My language would have been very bad.
It doesn't matter. They got us to the party. They stayed with us. They gave us the keys to drive home and stuff. So there's four things they sell. The core is the old school hosting, starting at $2.95 a month. Okay. Because that's probably where either they've still got those racks of legacy machines that are still running Windows 95 or something, or they've just made the limits on it. And if you read the details, you see there's such a limit on what you can do or can't do that what happens is they don't, like WP Engine, tell you up front you're going to be punished. What happens is you just set something up, and if you try to do more, you realize you're in a shared environment. And so you have like 100 kids all trying to use the drinking fountain at one time. And anybody with kids know how that. Then next, they have VPS. Now that is technically speaking not cloud,
but it's like their own version of the cloud, right? It's not like maybe the big super daddy, but that's priced.
I think it's all a load of bullshit.
But that's priced more in line with what we talked about. So from $20 to $59 a month. Then you've got dedicated, which again, really rare to think how anybody would do that today. But if you have a business, maybe that you're really concerned about some kind of security or something, they're going to give you a box that's yours. Or if it's not a box, it's like an environment that's a Kubernetes or something that's just yours.
It's a dedicated droplet, probably, isn't it?
Well, whatever. And then finally, this is the one that's an interesting one because it's a marketing tool. The online store from 10 to 12 bucks. And all that is that's just WooCommerce. They're saying it's like WooCommerce with a few plugins in it, which is a great marketing tool.
I think of the lower priced traditional providers, they are part of an enormous conglomerate who owns a number of they bought a number of hosting companies, and they keep the branding, they keep it as controlled competition. So they, what's the name of this company that owns all Bluehost, the Alligator? I always forget what their name is. They changed it three times, didn't they?
There's a holding company that owns all this stuff, and that's one of the reasons I don't remember it either. But
because they keep changing their name for understandable reasons.
They're based in Orem, Utah.
Yeah,
and I'm looking to see with the family, but like
they keep a low profile.
I don't even care because it's besides the point. Because the bottom line is they own a lot of web stuff. They do a good job for what it is they're selling if you're clear on what it is that you're getting. And the one last thing I would want to say in this regard is I had a very nice relationship with another company, not on our list, but let's say Hostinger. Now, Hostinger is European-based. They have, by their own accounting, like 1.2 million WordPress users. But their big thing is selling essentially $3 to $5 a month WordPress site hosting. Now, is that bad? No. But it is what it is.
Well, as long as you know what you're going to get.
I have to mute my mic because I have a call from my kid's school.
Well, he's got to take his call. So just to finish off, folks, about Bluehost, not a bad company. I've been a bit disparaging with them. But as long as you know what you're getting involved with and you understand what the type of company they are, you're not going to be disappointed. But it's just that when it comes to membership learning management systems, I don't think they are really a provider that you should be looking at. Hopefully he's come back.
Sorry, that's when you work at home and you have kids at school.
I understand. So let's go on to the next one, WP Engine, which... In some ways, the total opposite of Bluehost in some ways. What would you say are the strengths and weaknesses of WP Engine, Uncle Spencer?
Well, you know, it's got, it's the GOAT. It is the GOAT of managed hosting of...
I thought business. I was the GOAT. I'm the donkey. Yeah, I'm the donkey, you know.
They're an enormous business, very, very qualified in every respect. Great team. There's nothing that one can say other than the point I made earlier that would be, you know, not to use them. Most all of my corporate clients are at WP Engine at the beginning of it. And then sometimes we have to move them away. My complaint, which again, I brought this up directly because I'm having nice interaction with Jason directly, is why do you force this caching on people? That's really the essence of my only complaint. If they didn't force the caching, I would be fine. And maybe he'll change his mind or they'll change their mind or whatever. But it's beyond our capacity to affect them because...
Well, because basically the cost base isn't as cheap as you think it is. That's why.
It's just, listen, you and I are on the outside looking in. But if we said to McDonald's or something, hey, McDonald's, well, here's an example. There's a very famous example because I grew up, you know, I'm a child of the 60s. In the 70s, maybe early 80s, McDonald's had these coffee stirrers that were plastic that like literally went in the top of the coffee cup, and they had a little micro spoon shape at the end. Well, I am not a drug user, but apparently they were perfect for people who used cocaine. So the public, who otherwise couldn't move the needle, was able to get this huge corporation to change their behavior because it was clearly detrimental to the public good to have the family restaurant known for giving out Coke spoons to everybody. And I'm saying, I may not get Jason or anybody else on the team, Heather or whomever, to make a choice, but please, if you're listening to the show and all the other publications I've made, please give an option to your customers to at least exclude pages on their own and at least know upfront that you're doing this instead of having to find it buried in the thing. And then I have absolutely nothing but praise for them. They are more expensive, but maybe they're worth it. They do have limitations on things that I don't feel are honest metrics anymore, like page views, but it's like text messages. They got
to I think they've got to provide their company, and they set it up so they can explain the different levels of their business model in a semi-coherent way, put it that way. Tina Cook, who's listening live, told us the name of the company behind Bluehost. It's Endurance International.
And that is a new name.
Their third change of name. That should tell
you
something.
It's a private equity company. Yeah. I want to say, too, like the conversations that I've had lately with Jason this last week were very productive about where WordPress is going. So I'm going to lay something out there should he or Heather or whoever else hear this show. And that is this. I think that the future of WordPress and WordPress hosting is less about buying all the parts and more about the solutions. And so one of the things that I said I'm ready to sign up being on the WP Engine team for is putting out a hosting thing that is like a Lego kit where the hosting is just built into the box, but in a meaningful way. In other words, for people who are doing membership sites, a membership WP hosting option.
Definitely don't want to do that. That'd be competitive to me. You just got
no. I'm talking about matching up the hosting with the membership, the dynamic stuff. In other words, we're sitting here saying everything nice about what they do, but even with the premium price, the caching issue. If there was a package lined up with the deliverables that you and I are discussing all the time, are what a lot of people want to have.
Can we go on to the next one?
These topics weave together. So when I put a little time into that, it's because it's going to hit the road on the next one. Like GoDaddy.
Yeah, right. But, you know. So let's go on to the elephant killers. Let's go.
Not anymore.
Yeah, he's gone, but he's still. I've got the memory of an elephant.
No, I've been retired for a long time.
Yeah, I've got the memory of a donkey. So let's go on to GoDaddy. I really got nothing good to say about him, really. I want to say,
first of all, nothing to do with Pagely. They're gone, but Josh Strebel and Pagely went over there. And now what they do have is something that makes Matt Mullenweg lose sleep at night, which I think is good. So they have now a package managed WooCommerce stores. This is very much like I was just alluding to, except not about WooCommerce WP Engine. I'm talking about membership sites with marketing automation and CRM and sales funnel, the whole thing that people want. Like if you thought of Nathan Berry, you know, ConvertKit. You can do a ConvertKit in WordPress, but when you have to fight the host to make it work, it's like, let's just go to Cloudways instead. But GoDaddy with Pagely is at least doing this. This is very progressive. They're packaging everything in. It's optimized for WooCommerce. It's got even a competitive, that's where Matt loses sleep. It's got a competitive transactional engine in there, right? With the gateway and the payment processing. So this is the future.
He didn't get his cut then, does he? But I want to make sure the Pagely crowd love them to bits. They had a good payday, got no problem with them. It's just the old team at GoDaddy, the old, you know, whatever. I just haven't got the time of day for them. This is, you know, the years I've wasted on their phone trying to get somebody that bloody knows anything what they're freaking talking about.
If you're asking whether anybody should host there, generally, no. I would say I use GoDaddy for all my DNS because if you understand how they try to get you on the checkout with black hat tactics, you know, with all this add-ons checked and you have to like be very careful. Other than that, their DNS service is where their bread and butter was. If you were looking for a WooCommerce site, I would say you can look at this and feel reasonably comfortable, although they are guilty of the same shenanigans, corporate malfeasance that just happened this last 2 weeks, where they just arbitrarily laid off most of their WooCommerce WordPress people, apparently, you know, because they needed to do corporate layoffs to look like they're profitable, but they had gobs of profit.
Well, that's useful if you wouldn't need any support, isn't it? Could help you.
Well, your point is well taken. Would I use GoDaddy for hosting otherwise? Not in a million years.
Don't do it, folks. Please don't do it. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm just saying this is like a different product inside of a bigger, like a Matryoshka doll or something. You know, it's like a little surprise inside of the larger GoDaddy that I wouldn't discount away from.
Yeah. Well, let's go on to former sponsor. Brian Jackson's a friend. I think he still will talk to me, even though I'm classified as, I'm not going to say what I'm classified as. But I've got a warm heart for them. I think they're going upscale. I looked at their website. They're going up price, and they're reducing the total emphasis on WordPress. And that's Kinster. What's your views on Kinster, Uncle Spence?
When I posted an article last year in Master WP about this caching issue, the Kinsta founder, and forgive me, I don't remember his name, but he might have been the chief engineer. Somebody higher up in Kinsta might have been the founder, forgive me, because I don't know as well as I do like with Jason, took issue with my point.
Oh, right.
But to his credit, understood the point, debated like in a mature, like two intelligent people can have a conversation.
Unlike me.
Unlike you.
Yeah,
Did not start ad hominem attacking or anything. And I felt like we came to an understanding of the scope of my request, because at the point when I made that post, and it may have changed, I hope it has, at the point of making that post, they were doing that very same thing I'm talking about with WP Engine, which was imposing caching. And his arguments at the time were absolutely true, but they were based upon a misunderstanding of what many people were doing, because he just presumed everybody just threw WooCommerce in and there's a checkout page, a cart page, and a shop page. And I'm like, no, that's not how it is. And when I explained it, at least seemed to understand and register that is a valid point. And if they've changed that, and we should ask Brian or just check it out, awesome. They do have a free trial. They're priced appropriately. There's nothing about this that would cause me any concern to recommend. But again, I would have to look at the nuances of what is it I'm trying to do? Yeah. And again, one last thing. It's the soda pop coffee aisle thing. There's a lot of hosts. So there might be two hosts, three hosts that are doing, basically can't tell the difference other than you like.
Really, they were always a great sponsor of my other show. Great people. Got a personal relation. Brian Jackson respects him. They always seem to be on this team. I think they do utilize, I think I'm correct, I might be wrong, but exclusively Google as their provider, their cloud provider. Google's prices have gone up recently. They're to their secondary providers that like Kinsta, they put the charges up. I think that's one of the reasons why they're putting their prices up. But I'm pretty sure they're exclusive Google Cloud provider. They've got strong connections with Google, obviously. A good quality team, I would say.
I met their current blog about page caching, and unfortunately, it does not appear that they have implemented anything other than cache expiration.
Yeah.
Now, I could be wrong, and I don't see anything here in the
document. No, I think you're right, and it's one of the reasons why I think when it comes to learning management systems, this thing you've pointed out, you're totally correct.
Here's an example of what happens for anybody who listens to this point. You set up an LMS, doesn't matter which one. Somebody's got to enroll, progress, complete a lesson, move to the next thing. Along the way, in a modern site, they're going to get a tag in their CRM also through WP Fusion or Fluent CRM or something. Now, caching on the page is enabled. What happens is, since those pages for enrollment and starting the lesson and then clicking the button that says you're done, since those are cached by default for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, they click the button and nothing else happens. They're still like Marty and Doc looking at the picture, waiting for the DeLorean to show up, because the caching is just showing them what happened.
The reason why I'm a bit iffy about all this, because I'm part of the Lifter LMS group. They do a regular Zoom, and they have people coming on, and they have constant problems, and it's all down to all this, and it's a constant discussion, and they're with really cheap hosting, most of them listed, the ones we're talking about, and it's it's just painful to listen to.
I mean if I'm wrong, I always wanted to say this too, I'm looking and searching for a term like exclusion or something else. I cannot find anything in their documents that say that you can exclude, which is the same debate I was just saying about managed WP Engine. WP Engine has an exclusion tab, and it's all grayed out. It says you got to call us, and then we'll fill this for you. We're big boys and girls here. Like, we can do this ourselves.
Yeah, let's go on to the next one. SiteGround. Was the darling. That's the other thing. In the WordPress implementer developer community, there's kind of certain hosting providers. WP Engine, I would classify that as well. But I think they have got in the hearts of the developer crowd in a very good way. SiteGround was I kind of classify it as the darling of the Power Implementer in some ways. Still is to some extent. Based in Bulgaria. I'm going to let Spencer. What's your feeling? I've really got mixed feelings about SiteGround now.
I mean, well, I put this in the Bluehost category right now. I mean, honestly, it's maybe in the area a little bit above it because it had Bluehost did too. I was going to say it had more of like a early WooCommerce stuff and so forth, but like it really just was built on affiliate referrals. It priced right. If you look, I forget the name of the author, and maybe somebody can help me, but we used to deal with, there's a guy who does like hosting reviews. I think his name is David. I got to look it up. And he lists like 50 hosts, and he does performance reports every year. There's this gigantic clump, a segment of companies that offer the same price, the same performance, the same services. There's like virtually no difference among them. It's a commodity.
Yeah. The thing I've got a reason, I understand the business model, but I think their nickel and diming has got worse than GoDaddy, and that is saying something. That's what, you know, there's, when it comes to GoDaddy, it's their nickel and diming, it's the history of the company and just their support and the terrible support that they offer. So they sack people left, right, and center when they just want to give some more money to their investors.
You should expect, like, this is the thing. You go on airlines today. I remember as a kid, airline was a luxurious experience, right? But it was really expensive. It was like the same price for coaches, maybe first classes today. There are people who go on Ryanair for like $8 and fly from Britain to France, right? You should expect when you get a $3 a month host not to get anything much. That's where the misalignment happens. Yes. If you pay 50 to 100, on the other hand, that's where it annoys me that managed hosting is really not
that managed. Not that managed. No, you're absolutely right. Let's go on to the total opposite, Conversio. They've got a relationship with the founder.
Yeah, Tom.
Just great people, but they're aimed at the higher echelon, the performance higher.
Well, this is true managed hosting. This is the word I would prefer would be, and I'm wearing my Pageless shirt, but I have very nice bling from Convisio, by
you
the
do.
Way.
Anybody
who doesn't want to get necessarily an endorsement, but wants to see their logo, shoot me some bling. Sure. Anyway, Tom and his team.
Give me carrots, being on the donkey.
They're offering what I would like to say is the true match between what managed hosting really is. Concierge hosting.
Yes,
in other words, you're in a relationship with a reasonably small to mid-sized company versus a gigantic, but their focus is on the things that are necessary if you're a small business and you're trying to grow and you're concerned, like, how do I set all this crap up? And the level of support and personal service you get is commensurate with that. So it's like having a valet. And I realize that scaling that out to a larger company is the goal of anybody. But right now, you know, some companies do better when they're not too big. And I have nothing but good things to say about Convicio. The pricing is proportionally value. Because look, it's $50, $300, or $1,000. You know what I love about that? It's so freaking obvious what you're getting there. You're getting at $50 a month, like a solid start. You're getting at $300. This is a business thing. This is going to run your business, and we got you covered. And then if you grow, it's $1,000. Yeah. But then ask yourself the question, can I honestly think I'm going to run a real popular business with online traffic and not spend $300 a month or $1,000 a month? Yeah. That, like, it makes you more money, but you don't, you know, $3 host is not going to get you there.
On to the next one. And see, I have a problem. See, this is going to be a difficult one because, like, they've got some great people, like the people from GiveWP, the Learn Dash crowd. They've got some really fantastic people working for them. But this is formerly
That's a different part of the company, though.
Yeah. Well, this is the problem. But Liquid Web.
The hosting. It's a Liquid Web brand. The hosting is Nexus.
I can't follow all these names that they've got. I can't follow it all, Spencer. I'm a donkey. I just can't.
No, but just to make it simple for people, okay? There's a holding company, the larger parent company, right? Liquid Web. And Nexus is one of their brands. But there's a lot of...
And where does Stellar WP fit into all this?
Stellar WP, I believe, is what they call the things that hold most of their plugins. So LearnDash and Cadence, Cadence Blocks, GiveWP, you know, all these things I think are under the Stellar WP. Right. Nexus, I think, is the holding company that has something
to do with... We could have a whole episode explaining their internal structure,
It would be so... It says here, Liquid Web. It'd be so much easier for us. Just, it's Liquid Web. Okay, that's it. It's Liquid Web. And forget about all the sub things, because I've had very good conversations and actually a really good relationship. And my own launch
flows. Do you think the people that work for them understand which part?
My own launch flows. I've decided to just use Cadence as the base thing. And certainly LearnDash is one of the LMSs that we think is. So their products, their service, their team, the people are all very accessible, very down to earth, very progressive. There's none of this we know better than you kind of thing. But they admit, many of them in private conversation, we ourselves don't know what's going on at the parent company because one hand doesn't talk to the other hand. That's the problem sometimes.
Corporate America at its best.
It doesn't affect the products themselves. I will say this. I have a lot of positive things to say in general about all the other software. So this is an instance where it's convenience. If you got one of their packages that had the stuff in it, but that's it. It's convenience. In other words, going back to my conversation that WordPress is going into verticals. There's going to be, well, we know Elementor Cloud and Divi Cloud and then the various hosting, you know, verticals. These verticals will be your Netflix, your Disney, your Hulu, your ESPN Plus. They just let us take a certain amount of money per month and we'll give you all of our stuff. That's it. This is a perfect example of that. And is it sufficient? Yes. You could start for $15 a month on a WooCommerce thing and get all the plugins in there that you need. Ta-da. It's an awesome idea. And that's the future of WordPress. It's WordPress as a service. The difference here is just they give you the raw materials, but they really don't give you like the solution. What I was referring to earlier was more like it'd be even better if you took it to the level of like, this is just like ConvertKit, except it's based on stuff from WordPress.
Yeah. Well, let's finish off with the darling of Uncle Spencer, a kind of hybrid, slightly different to the other providers in some ways. Just to give you background, they appeal to the developer stroke implementer crowd of WordPress, a bit like WP Engine, but for different reasons. And he's shaking his head, so you have to take
it's not that. True. That's not true. They're different than WP Engine for the reasons I've said like several times today. They get out of your way. They give you the high-end stuff and they don't be paternal. They're not maternal or paternal about it. They're like, you're a big boy and girl. Here's all the stuff you paid for. Go to town. And if you need help, we're here. WP Engine's like, we know better and we're going to measure you and track you. And we're
I didn't mean it in that way. You're totally correct. I meant in the way they market themselves and the in the WordPress community. There's certain like, what was that one that got bought by GoDaddy a number of years ago? That was the darling of the WordPress implementer developer. I forgot its name, but they got bought by GoDaddy and died a death. There's certain hosting providers. SiteGround had that ethos, but I think it's gone away a bit, where they just appeal, you know, all the influencers in WordPress kind of push certain hosting providers. And that's what I meant by it. Uncle Spencer.
I apologize if that's what you meant, but at the same time, this is like, honestly, there's two camps here. Well, we're going to do a summary at the end, but like right now on this one, Cloudways, why I'm so pro Cloudways. I'm pro Convisio too, but like there's three, maybe four levels. Let's just say three. First of all, there's the ones that are just inexpensive, basic hosting using whatever the technology, but you're going about it like Ryanair for an airline flight. Like price is the only thing that matters. And I realize hopefully when I get it, I'm going to have a lot of trouble. Second, the mid-level, which is more than that, like a SiteGround or whatever, but it's not really true managed hosting. And there's nobody trying to pretend that it is managed hosting. Then there's the true managed hosting and you're paying a reasonable amount. Now, Cloudways is not expensive. It's reasonable for what you get. But are they going to treat you like a child or an adult when it comes to the things that you need to have happen? Cloudways gives you the tools at a great price, and it's a large company. They may not treat their employees well as of yesterday when they just laid off a bunch of people for no reason, but the service uses five...
Do you think they just got an email, or did they actually get a phone?
I'm just saying, like, there's five services that they offer. They're like a transparent layer in between, so you get the WYSIWYG and the support. Convisio is true concierge valet managed hosting. WP Engine uses the term that I don't agree with, unless or until they take off the caching. Because if they would just take off the caching and make it like, here, you can...
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Yeah.
But they're in that category of like real money for real stuff for real businesses. So those three tiers kind of cover where these things break out. But I love what I love with Cloudways, though, is you just jump right into a DigitalOcean or a Vulture, like now, the middle plan, and you're good to go.
What do you think's going to happen? They were purchased by DigitalOcean recently. Well, time goes, well, that was recent. It was just before the new year, wasn't it?
A day goes by.
But what do you, you know, you've been in business, I'm in business, you understand the reality. Cloudflare, DigitalOcean was one of their providers. Now they're owned by DigitalOcean. I think it's inevitable that in the near future that the other hosting providers that they offer are going to disappear and they're just going to offer DigitalOcean. No. No, you don't think so?
No, because I can't speak for them, but the founders, this is their second or third success. There are some guys from overseas that are just really brilliant at building these big companies, right? So they went from one success to the next success. They do everything right, and they have access to the people power overseas to make this happen, right? So their teams are not necessarily based here in the U.S.
Well, they're based in Pakistan mostly, aren't they?
Okay, I'm not sure where they're at. But the point is, without saying specifically, because I think they're a little bit virtual. Yeah,
well, that's a generality.
WP Engine is based in Austin, Texas. Okay, they're not, at least for the home office. And Convisio Tom is based in the United States and so forth. So the point I'm making is they've done the right thing, but it looks to me, and I've been watching on Crunchbase and other things, looks to me that they're prepping for an IPO. That's what I'm going to guess. Yeah. I think that the founders taking money off the table, they're cleaning up shop.
If I've lost the plot, I thought the whole thing had just been bought by DigitalOcean.
No, DigitalOcean bought up Vulture and incorporated into what they were already doing. Cloudways got, wrong. They bought Cloudways, yes. But along the way, they have continued to offer Vulture is what I should have said.
What I'm saying is I don't think they're going to continue doing that.
I think they are. Because if we, here's why. Because the thing that they do is they're not trying to be the host. They're trying to be the interface. They happen to own one of the choices, which is DigitalOcean. But you know what's really good for psychology, for bracketing, for, you know, like putting in a like a price bracketing thing? Having four other choices and your own, and you get paid no matter which somebody chooses.
I'm prepared to bet $25 with you in the end of this year that the other ones are gone and it's all digital.
I will. Okay. So we're going to go, I'm going to make it $100.
All right.
As of the final show of 2023, God right. willing, we're all here still.
You, AI, we are probably right. If someone don't
the AI
come
doesn't take us out. $100 bet. If by the last show, those other hosts are still in digital, are still on Cloudways. My bet is yes. Your bet is no.
All right.
Payable in cash, not your casino money from Reno, by the way.
Hopefully you would just contribute that to a non-profit. But I'm pretty sure that the timing might, I might be wrong with the timing, but I know corporate America and the idea that DigitalOcean, I don't know how much they paid for it. I think it was like a enormous hundred. It was like 50, 60.
It doesn't matter because the company is like humongous. Like I said,
honestly think that they've coughed up all their money, that they're not going to gradually, the bean counters is not going to enforce, well, you're just going to offer DigitalOcean.
I don't understand. Oh, I mean, if you want to go on that topic for a second, I don't understand where it hurts them to keep the others around. Here's why. From the sales and the marketing and the psychology, having multiple server hosts is good for them. We already see they have Amazon and Google and Linode, which they don't own. Are they going to get rid of all four and just be digital?
Are you really saying that somebody that's spent an enormous amount of money, that's a direct competitor to the other three, is not going to push their product and diminish the quality of the others?
I'll explain. I know now where you're having some maybe a disagreement. I went out the other day. I was doing a video to explain to people about a Presto player, Adam Presser's nice product for somebody who doesn't want to deal with using bunny.net directly to host their videos. Okay. We've talked about it before. It's an
The main strength is that it puts the videos in the media library, doesn't it?
But this is a good metaphor. Okay. So Presto Player, the pro version, is necessary in order to get the convenience of setting up bunny.net for people who feel like, oh, I can't be bothered. Okay. Now, I went out and went to bunny.net. It's press a button, $5, you put your videos up, you get amazing embeds, and you don't need Presto Player at all. But you had to at least accept that I had to like type in the name of, you know, a folder, like do two things. Now, the comparative there is the thing that Presto Player is selling is the conceived or the perceived convenience of, oh, I can't be bothered. It's too hard to type in the, you know, bunny.net and the name of the thing. Even though in reality, it's like a piece of cake. What is the difference with like DigitalOcean directly versus using Cloudways? I went out and tried to set up a server on DigitalOcean to work as a comparative. I'm really into this stuff. And for me, the steps, even though it was just four or five of them, were very disconcerting to someone versus you go to Cloudways, you go, I want that, press a button, it's set up, WYSIWYG control. What Cloudways is selling is like what Presto Player is selling.
I see what you
mean. A WYSIWYG layer and support.
I see what you're saying.
You won't get that at DigitalOcean. You won't
I see where you're coming from. But I'm sorry, Spencer. I just think the bean counters and the absolute shark, white shark mindset of American corporate. I might be totally wrong, though. I'm the donkey. So there we are.
Well, let's make a side bet. We'll do it like True Vegas. First of all, first bet.
I can't afford any. You're going to take a load of money off me anyway, for God's sake.
Oh, please.
But I just want to get.
Hold on. $100.
Yeah.
Cloudways is still offering other things. The end. Let's do a side bet. Side bet is, can I convince WP Engine through all of my carousing, corralling, whatever, to either change their caching behavior or engage me in some capacity to be their spokesperson instead of me continually whining against them, to put me on their side to say how awesome they are. Because
I think Jason's too busy counting all the $100
Jason
bills.
Is not too busy, but he's a very, very logical person. So our conversations that he thinks, like, if I say the sky is blue, he actually thinks it through and comes up with 20 different things I never thought about. But what I'm saying is, it's really annoying to me on a personal level not to be able to just say, yeah, WP Engine is awesome, because I would rather be rooting for that team because I know who's behind it. I like DigitalOcean / Cloudways, but I don't have any of the personal relationships with them. So we'll see. If that bet happens, then we should lay another $100 on it. Because
I thought you were going to say that. So just to finish off with one of our live listeners, Tina Cook, has asked us, which ones would we recommend? Well, it's a hard one, Tina. I know which one. Cloudways.
There's three choices with logical reasons why. Okay. I don't want to interrupt you, and I've been very interruptive today, but like you said, because my blood pressure medicine makes me so hyper.
I've tried to be compassionate and not really get you really going.
These shows are often better. People say it's boring when only one person's droning on for too long, so they like the back and forth. Okay, here's the three thought processes. Back to my moment ago comment. If you want to try something, you just want to launch it, okay? And there's other things we never even talked about today, like Vika Singh, who's a indirect relationship of mine for advising him and stuff. He's got InstaWP. You can launch a site, and it's not like a hosting thing, but you can test it. The point is, though, if you're trying to test stuff out, it's a new business. I don't care. I just got to get it out there. It's very limited in the scope of customers. Go with one of the $3 a month things, but know that that's like, renting a car. You don't own it. It's just not going to get you where you want to go. Second, if you're really, really, really on a budget, I'm going to actually say better that you go to Cloudways or one of the middle tier things on the lower end. I'd rather see somebody start out on the Cloudways using, let's say, DigitalOcean or Vulture for the $10 a month plan. I'd rather see you there. Why? Because it will get you what you need with all the back-end tools. And then if you need to scale it up, you just press a button, boom, you move it up to the $50 a month, right? You don't have to migrate or anything. That would be better than a SiteGround or a Bluehost or one of the other ones that, like, the relationship is not going to get what you want. And then if you really have a business, you have three types of choices. You have a concierge valet relationship with Convicio and Tom and his team, which I would recommend highly. Hold on, because they are going to interact with you personally. Okay. If you are otherwise not needing that level of concierge, and that would include, like, if you're working with us or something yourself, I'm saying Cloudways right now is my default choice because WP Engine does not seemingly
I would agree with you if they're working with people like yourselves. Obviously, you have left out the most premier solution. I'm going to be totally self-serving and arsehole-ish, but you've left out the most premier solution, which is WP Tonic, obviously.
No, but I'm not talking about my stuff because that's a different conversation. And just to clarify, you and I, both in the business for various reasons, where, like, we have customers who come to us, they're like, I want the relationship with you guys because of all the other things I need about setting up and the membership and the business. We're really talking here for hosting about people that are mechanics. Let's be honest, because my advice to people is they shouldn't be dealing with getting their own hosting. They should go to somebody like us that they have a concierge relationship with. And that's where, unfortunately, but truthfully, if you go through us for our various expertise, you don't have to think about hosting. It's like buying a Lego kit. You don't have to worry about what pieces.
So to finish off, Tina, I think Cloudways is a great offering if you're confident and happy with that, Tina. Obviously, Uncle Spencer is. You've got to make that judgment call, Tina. If you've got a client that's got a reasonable, but the site is really quite important to them in revenue, I would look at Conversio. If you're looking at a slightly, for some reason, Conversio is too much, blah, 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 then I would look at either Kinsta or WP Engine. But I can't recommend Kinsta when it comes to membership learning management systems or to some degree WP Engine for the factors that Uncle Spencer so clearly... what would your position be with WP Engine and Kinsta when it comes to WooCommerce?
The same problem applies. So with WooCommerce, I've had conversations with them directly, usually because their clients are suffering. We talked about the other show. I think we had 10 sales funnel plugins, one of which is my own Launch Flows. All of them allow you to have custom checkout and thank you pages. Guess what happens on WP Engine? If you have your checkout in anything other than slash checkout, it doesn't recognize it as an exclusion. If you have a custom thank you page, it doesn't recognize it. If you have an LMS and it's got... That's the problem. The problem is they exclude by default the WooCommerce default pages and they go, yeah, that's fine. And here's why. Because they're smart as hell and they know that the squeaky wheels will get the grease. So the business model by necessity in my analysis entails, let's wait till somebody complains and then we'll take care of it for them. Just like kids on a school bus. And that's to me something that was necessary in 2008 to 10 when I first heard from Jason that he was doing this and I talked about it and I was doing a thing called Lab Secrets way back in the day. But the point was, it's not 2010 anymore. It's 2023. And it's insulting, I think, in many ways to the intelligence of smart consumers to think that like that's better for them. And it's such a small ask. So again, I'm putting the billboard out, my shingle out saying, hey, WP Engine, I'm available to talk about it. But if you don't want to deal with me, at least treat the customers with the level of respect because I'm going to continue to say that's not working for me. And it's not working for anybody. Even like, I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but you know, the founder of WP Fusion publicly posted about what an aggravation WP Engine causes for anybody doing marketing automation. And he would never say a bad thing about any service or company unless it was really true.
Yeah.
So listen up, guys. Come on.
Right. So, Tina, it depends. That's the horrible answer, Tina. It just depends. But hopefully we have, it's been a great show. I think we've tried to give honest feedback. I haven't upset Uncle Spencer too much. He seems quite calm, relaxed. I haven't rattled you up too much.
You know what's on my mind as of late? Because I've been actually using it. And it's not something like that we should be talking about in this show per se, but it's worth just capping this off. We're at a real transitional moment this week with the AI because of what Bing has released and with, you know, all the other stuff. But the thing that's been fascinating to me is how it's really affected my workflow, but also it's shaking the snow globe of all of these things we were talking about in the context of, let's say, SEO, content production, video production. All these things are now dynamically changed, especially SEO, which there's, again, the company that we talk about that's doing all this black hat stuff. Well, now with the AI, there's ways to countermand it because the new system of delivering the results is not the Google, you know, list out stuff. I predict that that's going to work its way into this whole conversation about hosting. Why? Because those tools are all the like bells and whistles that when you want to stack up your offering and say it's $15 a month, it's going to be AI this and AI that and AI the other and oh, AI setup and what kind of thing. And it will just do it for you. And all these conversations we're having right now,
to some extent,
they just go away. You know?
Yeah, I do think you're right. We're going to round it up. We will be back next week with hopefully more advice, more insight about how to build a great membership learning management system on WordPress so you can get the success for yourself and for your family. We will be back next week, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.